بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فتبينوا ولا تقولوا لمن ألقى إليكم السلام لست مؤمنا. In traveling abroad, then carefully investigate. Now, the Quran Sharif and the Hadith must be understood in context. Sometimes, quotation out of context is worse than a lie. Look at the verse. Someone claims that the Quran Sharif says don't perform namaz. لا تقربوا الصلاة. And he just stops there. So that is worse than a lie. Because he has quoted it selectively out of context. And the right thing is to acquire the knowledge and complete in context, understanding the application. And just one, two verses here, half a verse there, and then you're quoting it, and then you say, بَلِّهُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَة, that convey even if it's just one verse, then you have misunderstood. Quote, but understand the full context. So therefore the Quran Sharif says, فَتَبَيَّنُوا, carefully investigate. Many harms and many wrongs are because we haven't understood things in full context. Maybe we mean good, but meaning good is not sufficient. You have to mean good and do the good as well. Do what is right and intend what is right, mean what is right, as well as intend what is right and do what is right. But just intending the right and not doing the right, or doing the right and not intending the right, is incomplete. So the Quran Sharif or the Hadith must be understood in context. Rasulullah was worried about his ummah. One of the things that was concerning him is the knowledge of Deen, the Quran, becomes accessible to all and sundry, and every person is giving his 2 cents in the Quran or the Hadith. Now, it creates a confusion. You're quoting a Quranic ayat, and the person is forced to believe in it. And now he doesn't know what to make of it. So, there are some people who didn't understand, and they are conniving or they are treacherous. And there are some people that are naturally weak. Now, they may just ask you, do you follow Imam Abu Hanifa or you follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So the common person is difficult for him to answer. But now the way he's come across, that this person is already confused. And this is the problem in this day, that there's a lot of confusion that is created. And the Quran Sharif warns against this. إِذَا جَاءُمْ أَمْرٌ مِنَ الْأَمْنِ أَوِ الْخَوْفِ أَذَاعُوبِ. When any issue concerning security or fear reaches them, then they publicize it, they divulge the thing. And every information is not supposed to be divulged. وَلَوْ رَدُّوهُ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ وَإِلَى أُولِي الْأَمْرِ. So the information must be passed on to the head, to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he is alive, when he is around. وَإِلَى أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْهُمْ. And then after him, أُولِي الْأَمْرِ is translated mainly as ulama. According to Ibn Abbas, Mujahid, Ikrima, Hassan Basri, all of them say that أُولِي الْأَمْرِ refers to ulama. So ulama is not just ulama that are well ground, experienced, very well ground. Their work is to learn and to teach Quran and Hadith. So day and night, they're involved in that. You can see a good high level of taqwa and a high level of understanding. So one is someone coming out of the mill and you're referring to him. Simple maslas, no problem. How many rakats in Zuhar? 4 rakats. Maghrib, 3 rakats. They can answer you. But then things that are a little bit important, complicated, then every person cannot preside over them. I need to have that understanding. Do I have the contextual knowledge? How to come across? Different people are asking. When there are different people asking, how should I word it so that it is not misconstrued? How do I do it? So those people that are well trained, the sound, the understanding, then they can do it very easily, because this is the work, they know what they cut out for, and they know the person that is referring, so very easily they will come across. Ra'isul Ahrar, Mawlana Habibur Rahman Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. So his taluk was with Mawlana Raipuri Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. But he had some personal difference with the Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi, because he was heavily engaged in politics, and Shaykh did not like that students in the studying days must be involved in anything else but studies. When you're studying, then your whole focus must be in your studies. Now, he happened to be involved in politics. So Shaykh expressed that I'm not pleased with this. So he was a little bit turned away. But anyway, he would make a routine visit to his Shaykh, Mawlana Raipuri Rahmatullah Alayhi, and Mawlana Raipuri Rahmatullah Alayhi would ask that, coming here to Raipur, do you meet Shaykh? Because now, in order to reach up to Raipur, you have to cut through Saharanpur, you go through the, to reach Raipur, right? In order to go to, for example, to Durban, you have to cut through Clearwood. You must cut through Clearwood, then you reach Durban. So, when you have to cut through Clearwood, do you meet Hazrat Shaykh with Hadith Rahmatullah Alayhi? Now, if you say that you met Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi, then he would be very happy, extremely happy. Now, everybody wants that his Shaykh must be happy with him. So now, Maan Naman Metera Mehman. They go and meet Hazrat Shaykh, so that they got a good story to give to the Shaykh. Mawlana Raipuri Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, that I went up to Saharanpur, I met Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi, and now I'm coming. So now the scene is very happy, his spirits are very high. Otherwise, but you came to here, but why didn't you meet Shaykh? You see, this Buzugan Adin and Mashaykh, they were not self-centered. The greater concern was Bil Minina Ra'ufur Rahim. النَّبِيُّ أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. They think more for you, they are more concerned about you than your concern about yourself. Because they know more of Allah Ta'ala, they know more of the hereafter, so their concern about you is greater than your own concern about yourself. النَّبِيُّ أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. So they think for you, and they'll be concerned about you in your absence, in your presence. Hazrat Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making dua for Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, for his hidayat. He's not even a Muslim, but Rasulullah Pak sallallahu sees something in him, that maybe this person, he can tip the balance, something can happen with him. So one is to say, but this person is an enemy to Islam. This person here, he hates the guts of Muslims, so he must rot in Jahannam, have that attitude. And one is, oh, he can become a great asset, so let's make dua for him. See how the Nabi thinks. Hazrat Mawlana Manzoor Nomani Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he says, I was on my way towards a Tablighi Ijtima. So in India, the travelling is not so smooth like here. Now, you know, now it's not quite smooth, but I know when we were there it was not smooth. You have to go with the oxen cart, horse and cart, rocky roads, you walk faster, if you walk, you'll be walking faster than sitting on those wagons, right? But now you're traveling through that type of terrain. So Mawlana is on the ox cart, and there is one Abdul Rahman, no Muslim. Abdul Rahman from Mewat, but he's a new Muslim. So his people, Mewatis, had a lot of liking for him, a lot of respect. So he asked his people that were there in that cart, so I just move out, I'm going to confide in Mawlana. Now he can't ask Mawlana to jump out the cart because of his seniority, because of his ilm, because of his learning. So he had to show him that respect. So he asked the other friends, but he move on, I just want to speak to Mawlana. So he got to talk to him. So he said, Mawlana, you know what? I want to ask you something in secret, personally. So what is it? So many years ago, I was at the Markaz, Nizamuddin, and I was in the company of Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. And whilst I was there, now it's lunch time, and after lunch they went have a rest. Qailula, siesta, we go and have a rest. So all are in their apartments and they are resting. In the meanwhile, there's a knock on my door, and someone is calling out, Ilyasu, agar tum jaagte ho, darwaza zara khol do, kiwar zara khol do. I'm Ilyas waiting here, and if you are awake, then open the door. He said, I was awake, fully alert, but I didn't show that I'm awake. But I thought to myself, this old man, right, he'll discuss something now, and he won't sleep in the afternoon, and he won't sleep the whole night, he's making tahajjud. So he'll deprive himself. So now just for that, just that he may have a good rest, I didn't respond. But I know now he's tarteeb, that he'll discuss something with me now, and the whole night is gone in tahajjud. So his night rest is gone, and the afternoon rest is gone. So unki sihat ka kya hoga, what happened to his health? He may just deteriorate. So I didn't respond. Then after a few minutes there was a knock again. And that's the tarteeb. When you're asking for permission, you don't just knock and move away. No. You give some sufficient time so that if the person is involved in something else, engaged in something else, he may round up and he can come to you. Say for example the person is in the bath and you knocked. So it'll take him at least about another 7 minutes to end up, right? 5 minutes, 7 minutes. Or for example, he just started his sunnat muakkada, or the woman just started her Isha namaz, right? And there's a knock on the door. So you can't be so impatient as to knock immediately again. And number two, you can't become upset about it that I knocked at the door, but they're not opening, they're not answering. What do you know what they involve in? Someone may be in the toilet, someone may be in the bath, someone is in the namaz, they just started off. Now they can't break the namaz just for any reason and every reason. So that level of consideration is only in Islam. This is a teaching, beautiful teaching of Rasulullah. Be considerate. Understand what the circumstance may be. Now you're getting upset unnecessarily, or you're becoming impatient. Now the person is in the toilet now. He's uneasy. Now how must I convey it? I'm the midst of the toilet now. How must I come out? So you give some sufficient time for the person to round up, and then he can respond to you. So Mawlana gives sufficient time and he knocks at the door again, and again I didn't respond. But when he knocked for the third time, then I opened up. Now I opened up the room. Mawlana says, "Ek kaam ki baat hai. There's some emergency that came up. There's one two ulama that are very senior, very active in dini work, but they're going off the course now. And we have to make jointly namaz and dua for them. Jointly, we make 2 rakat namaz and make dua for them for the hidayat." Right. So we went, and this no Muslim Abdul Rahman, he was known, new Muslim, but he was known for his duas getting answered. New, a lot of times, person is new, but his heart is very good. And you can't underestimate that person. His heart is so good that he says something and Allah is listening to him straight away. Allah Pak is not looking, he's new or old, no. He is looking at how sound the heart is. He's not looking at how educated and how wealthy he is, but he's saying how good the heart is, clean, pure, at any given time, but absolutely clean. For the cleaning of the heart, at any given time, you want your du'as to be answered. You want happiness in the house, in your business. Then you wish well. Khair khair ad-deenu an-nasiha. You wish well for all. For all Muslims, you wish well. And you think well for them as well. You wish well and you think well. Two different things. You wish well. Ladra uska balao. Ladra. You must get the good of both lives. And you think well for him as well. Right. You think well, inshallah, he's a good person. So you don't have to go deep into his life, into his personal life, as to what he's doing. He didn't propose to your daughter. So what's the need for you to go and dig into his life? Yes, he's proposed to your daughter, now you have to make some additional homework. How's his life? What's he doing? What's he not doing, etc. You have to make some additional homework. But he didn't propose, so just look at him at the surface. Alright, I think he's a good person. Yeah, if it's a job application, or he's proposed, or something like that, you have to do some homework. Okay, what is the CV of this person here? What is the background of this person here? Because you're doing business now, and you don't want to incur a loss. He's going to be marrying your daughter, and you don't want problems. You have to do some homework to find out the background about the person. But otherwise, if it's nothing like this, then you think well for the person, and you wish well for the person. So, when a person trains himself to wish well at all times and think well, then you'll find that he's got happiness in the home, happiness in his business. There is no mental turbulence that he goes through. Mind is good. By this type of talks, don't just come by just one discourse. So think about it, then put it deep into your mind and work from there onwards. Then that becomes your nature. It becomes like your habit, your routine. But I heard about it and finished. It doesn't work like that. Sometimes it's basic lessons, and those basic lessons have to be repeated. As Musa alayhi salam story comes approximately 29 times in the Quran Sharif out of 30 siparas. So if it was just storytelling and entertainment, one time was sufficient. I heard the story now. Allah, why are you repeating it? Na'uzubillah. So it's not just about storytelling and entertainment. It is about, are you grasping the lesson, the concept? If you grasp it, have you taken it into yourself? That's the idea. Sometimes it's one lesson, but you take it so well, then it can be an answer, a solution to many problems. But then you must grasp it and grasp it very, very well. Hold it, hold on to it. Addu Aliha bin Nawal. Hold it firm. So anyway, says there's two ulama now, and Mullah didn't mention the names. He said they're of the cause. They're very good, but they go on a off the cause. Now we need to make dua, perform namaz, cry for the hidayat. So anyway, this new Muslim Abdul Rahman is asking Mawlana Manzoor Sahib Numani Rahmatullahi that by chance, was he referring to you? Was he referring to you? This is the approximate date, approximate time. Said, yeah, exactly that time, that date, I saw a total revolution within my mind. I felt so averse to the Mawludi movement that I was involved in. I just quit the job, I just gave in my resignation. Although I was very high profile, myself, Alim Asab Rahmatullah, both of us, we were in a very high position. And our work was just flowing. We had the crowd, spellbound. It was moving so well. Crowds and crowds, youngsters, educated, all types. And we were just moving. But then, exactly around this time here, our minds just turned around. And then we just handed in our resignation, it moved away. Says, well, this was the time that we made dua for you. See, this is called wishing well. It's easy, alright, person is doing something wrong, to smash him, talk against him. Perhaps at some level it's a duty also to speak out against him, so that you are warning people, right? You're warning people. So they get to know now, alright, this thing is not right. Now, if you're wishing so well that you allowing yourself and people to listen to anything and everything, then your mind is in a total state of confusion. He's saying this and he's saying this and he's saying this. You can't allow yourself to be a victim for this. So you can't be listening to everything as well. But by the same token, then you can't be entertaining suspicions about people unnecessarily. So what it requires some type of supervision, mental supervision. Then who you're listening to, what you're reading up, what's your thought process, is that right or not right? Because if you're thinking so well and you're listening to everybody, then it's a big jumble that's collected in your mind. And how are you going to sort the thing out? You're not at a level. You need someone who's got that type of brain, that type of understanding, that can see all these things and see it in perspective. If you don't have that, then say I don't have it, and then simply take on to someone. Like, I don't have that understanding, I don't have that exposure, I don't have that knowledge, so please just guide me. So Islam would talk of one of two persons, fas'alu ahla dhikr. You know it or you don't know it. You know it, then apply yourself. You know it very well, you know the application, apply it. And if you don't know it, then ask. Whether it is about masail, whether it's about queries, day-to-day queries, or whether it is queries about the mind, mental things. So there'll be queries of two types. One is day-to-day. Well, I read 4 rakats in place of 2 rakats. What must I do? After the namaz, I discovered that there was some blood stain. What do I do? Right. So these are things day to day. Alright, a lot of people are well versed in that respect. But now, there are some things pertaining to the inner self, or masail that are very, 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 very delicate, very serious masail. Now what do I do about it? So someone that is well versed, he knows about these things, yeah, then you refer to him. So you see this, think well and wish well. Think well and wish well. So the Quran Sharif is instructing, لَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ أَلْقَى إِلَيْكُمُ السَّلَامَ لَسْتَ مُؤْمِنًا. Now you're in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Right? Sahaba Kiram are gone. Expedition, it's a war, right? So you're coming up against an opposition. Now, you know it's an opposition. In the meanwhile, one person, he just says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. What do you do? In a quandary. Just now he was your opposition. He chopped off 1-2 Muslims' heads. And now he's saying, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Or he killed a whole score of Muslims. And now when you got him in the corner, and then he's saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. So he's offering you a greeting of Islam, or he's declaring the Iman, the Kalim of Islam. So he's recognizing an important, significant symbol of Islam. But he's caused damage just now. Just now he's caused damage, and now he's declaring the Shahadat. He's caused a great damage, and now he's saying Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. In the meanwhile, he's a wealthy person. He's got flocks and flocks of animals, sheep, goats, camels, horses, he's got all these things here. And when we cornered him, then he said, La ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. What do you do? So the Quranic directive is, La taqulu liman alqa ilaykum as-salama lastam minna. There are several sahaba ikram that had some similar encounters. Right? Miqdad ibn Aswad, then Abu Sayyid Khudri, then Usama ibn Zayd, then Khalid ibn Walid. Similar. I'm just cutting it down. Not giving the whole detail, but several sahaba ikram had the same encounters. But then their beauty was, if anything happened, right, it was not normal, then if they had to react on the spot, they reacted. So now they have to react. Rasulullah Basim is in Medina. They are 200 kilometers away from Medina Munawwara. There's no visible way how they can contact Rasulullah Basim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they reacted. But they went and responded and then queried the whole thing from Rasulullah Pak's person. This was the situation, this is what we did, was it right or not right? So that was the style. So now it's an endorsement or it is negating, one of the two. Endorsement or it's a rejection, one of the two. So Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained, Allah shaqaqta qalbahu. Did you open his heart and see that he was just reading the kalima just to save his skin and his wealth? Did you see that? So now this brings you to the answer of being judgmental, right? Judgmental is things that are concealed within the heart. Things that are concealed within the heart that you're not supposed to be presiding over. You cannot say now that he doesn't have pure iman. He's just saying assalamu alaikum, right? So long as there is no evidence to the contrary, you cannot declare the person as a kafir. So now, if you're declaring him as a kafir, and there is no visible evidence to the contrary, then that's wrong, it's haram, it's permissible. There's no visible. Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, he declared Yazid, right? Fajir, etc. And he also said, he cursed the person, right? He cursed Yazid ibn Muawiyah, radiallahu anhu, right? Now, coming down generations in our zamana, similar question was put forth before Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi. So Mawlana Gangohi Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, how he rounded it up. See, this is our Imam in fiqh, in hadith, he's the leader. So we take the cue from him. So he rounded it up, he says, see, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahmatullah alayhi, had sound evidence, substance, to curse the person. So he cursed him, he declared him as a fajir, right? Do you have the evidence? When you don't have the evidence, then you cannot curse the person. How are you going to curse the person when you don't have the person? But alright, you're getting some historical reports that he wasn't the right person, right? Historical reports don't have to be 100%. According to the law of the Muhaddithin, they don't have to be 100% accurate. There can be some discrepancy, right? Now, here we got it. Here he was sure, was certain the evidence was before him. It was overwhelming. So he declared him as a fajir and he cursed him. Here we don't have that level of evidence. When we don't have that level of evidence, but there are historical reports of the man not being right. So many people he killed, he destroyed Medina Munawwara, kept on drinking wine right to the end, right? So there's so much of reports about this person. So are we right in making the same statements that Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi had made? He's a ustad of Imam Bukhari, he's an authority, he's great, he's an Imam in Hadith, Imam in Fiqh. So are we right in saying that? Because, you know, we don't have the evidence. So then we have got contrary, we have contradictory evidence, right, about this person here. So when we have contradictory evidence or substance, then our work is tawakkuf, we remain silent. So we will not speak good about him and we will not condemn him as well. And then he goes on to say, if you're going to condemn the person or criticize the person, are you going to get any thawab for that? Ahmad ibn Hanbal was an imam, he did it. And he's got sound reason for doing it, right? Are you an imam? Have you got evidence? So what's your work then? You do your work, you be at your level, he will be at his level. He's an imam, he will do things at his level. And you're an ordinary follower, so you remain at your level. You don't assume the position of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah. Right. Now the same will happen in other masails that are touching this day and time, that there will be great ulama-i kiram, right, that will be speaking out openly against these things here. Abdul Hamid Sahib will be speaking openly. The Sahib Majlis will be speaking openly, right? But then they have got that level of knowledge, that level of taqwa, that level of experience, right? And they have got the ability of administrating affairs. So they're speaking from a pedestal. And we respect them for that. Because they are serving deen, in my knowledge, for the last 50 years. For the last 50 years they're serving. So much knowledge, experience, taqwa, righteousness. They've got all that. If they're speaking from that pedestal, then they've got a firm foundation, a pedestal to stand upon, and talk in that manner. They got the proof, they got the reasons, so we'll respect them for that. Now we have to do one of two things, or we have to do two things. One is recognize these people here, take the cue from them, right? But because all the evidence, all the facts are before us, therefore we'll remain silent, but we'll follow them. But because all the facts are not before us, then we cannot make the same statements that they made. If all those facts that are before them are before us, then it's a different thing, obviously. But if all those facts that are before them are not before us, then isn't it taking a shot in the dark? So you see, information, the importance, information. Al-Mawal Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi is reported to have said, right, that a person gets thrown out of the path because of one of three reasons. Right. One is na munasib ghiza, one is na jinski suhbat, and one is ma'asiyat. Right. So he's talking about the things that throw a person off the path. So one is na munasib ghiza, that your intake is not right. Now look at it. You see, you look at halal and haram, and you look at poison, right? Both have identical properties. Halal and haram and poison, the effects of it are very, very similar, very similar. You take a poison, you take something, right, a toxic. According to the strength of the toxin that you have taken, it can collapse all your organs, all your vitals can collapse straight away, and you can go. If it's taqdeer, you can go. All your vitals can just collapse, and you can go, can't you? Doesn't it happen? You just lose the energy, and everything is gone. So you don't have the energy to do anything, not even wake up, you're gone. Either you're totally a cabbage or you go away, right? Why? Just because of a tablespoon of some toxin. So disastrous. The poison will not ask you, do you know that you're taking poison? The poison will not ask you what niyat you're taking it. Will it ask you the niyat? And it will ask you, do you know what you're taking? It's not going to ask you. But in spite of you not asking and not knowing and having a good niyat, right, the toxin is going to do its work. It's not going to say, you know, your niyat is too good, you know, so good niyat you got, so I won't hurt you. Will the poison say that? Poison is not going to say that. Poison got a work, it will do its work. Right. It's not going to be discriminating that this person's niyat was good and that person's niyat was bad. So we'll have to make a discrimination. No, it's going to affect you. And what its effect is, it will cause your vitals to be all collapsing. Sometimes there's a total failure, and sometimes you die. All understand that, right? Exactly the same is the effect of haram. Right? Haram and things that are of a doubtful nature. Doubtful nature of things that are haram. Now, just the difference is that this will cause the physical collapse, and this doubtful haram will cause a spiritual collapse. And when there's a spiritual collapse, then you'll find several responses. Then you don't have the drive for righteousness. For good works, there's no drive, no morale. Every now and then you have to get charged again. You don't have the charge. Before you had the charge, naturally just going, flowing, namaz, Quran Sharif, masjid, halal, haram. You got the charge in you, it's natural in you. So you don't need a bayan, and the things are just moving. Why? Because there is the right fuel that you're being fueled with. When you fuel the right fuel, then the charge is there. In fact, the fuel is saying, "By use me now, use me." Doesn't it happen? For that time, for most of us, right? Doesn't happen. You hear the sound, "Hey, get up now, get up, enough now." Doesn't happen. Say a few more wings, no, no, man, you'll miss out Fajr Namaz. Does it happen or not happen? So to that level, a lot of Muslims have the charge. Do your namaz, don't do haram, right? But now, when you see that there is a collapse in that regard, that you don't have that level of charge in your namaz, seeing the masjid, behaving right, abstaining from haram, abstaining from doubtful areas, you don't see the charge, then there is some type of a poison, spiritual poison that you have taken, that's causing the spiritual organs to collapse. Say, alright, no, banking not so bad now, man. That Mulana says, alright. Insurance, alright, man. You know, there's another word now, takaful now, it's looking like an Arabic word, so must be permissible. So let's carry on, you know. So, a whole host of things we'll say, we'll talk about, and we'll try and justify the thing in our mind. Not realizing that this thing is going to bring about a total spiritual collapse. Now, before, you won't look at haram. But now he says, alright, no, some other alim says, permissible to look at this thing, man. Then in that viewing, there's some aunties coming also. He said, but I'm listening to a dini program, man. You can't doubt my intentions, right? You can't? But that auntie is talking there. Or that uncle is talking there. And the auntie is watching. A normal woman, Muslim woman, right? Will she appreciate someone staring at her? Hey. But over the screen, you're listening to a bayan. And it's absolutely normal. I'm doing a dini thing. And now what's going in the heart? Who knows about it? Allah knows about it, isn't it? The poison is not going to wait for you to know that this is poison to take its effect. It's going to take its effect. No one ask you, do you know about me? No. The poison is not going to wait to see what's your niyat. You know, my niyat is very good, man. You know, my niyat is very good. So poison sahab, don't you affect me. So, you get into a doubtful area, looking at all these things here, right? And you say, no, my niyat is very good. As though that poison is not going to take that effect. The poison is going to take that effect. Now, that restraint will not be there. So what's wrong? That restraint won't be there. You won't have the drive. And you're fearing insecurity. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? You know, this branch here, that business there, and this investment, what's going to happen? So that fear of insecurity at any given time. The only insecurity a Muslim needs to have is about his deen. Have I worked for my deen? Have I strived for my deen or not? That's the insecurity he's supposed to be having. Have I strived? Have I done the work for the day? What have I done? When the Sahaba Kiram fought against Constantinople, Turkey, today, Istanbul, right? So, you normally in a jihad, normally you wait for the instruction and then you charge. And one person, he is charged. So the other sahaba says, Mah, what are you doing? La tulqu bi aydikum ila tahluka. Don't put yourself into destruction. Don't let your hands contribute towards your destruction. So Abu Ayyub Ansari was there present. He says, no, why? That's not the application of this verse. See, this is where I started off from, that we're reading the Quran and Hadith, we don't know the context, and we're just sending it. Understand the context, where it was revealed, what was the occasion, take the time, and after that, after you understood the whole thing, now you understood the application, now applied. So he is reprimanding them, that's not the occasion of his revelation. What was the occasion? He says thereafter, the occasion for the revelation was, that we Ansars, we felt now we have done good for Iman and Islam, you know, we worked and worked now until Islam is flowing now, it's moving and it's flowing in deep sea and it's moving very well, right? So when it was moving very well, we thought now Islam is moving, it's high, it's moving, it's well, it's grounded now, so let's relax and let's pay attention to our businesses. So we have did this thing here, we have did this, that is flowing, it's moving very well. Now let's take a chance and attend to our businesses. That was the occasion where this verse was revealed. وَأَنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَ. Keep on spending. Strive. Don't you allow your hands to contribute to your destruction. In other words, not working for Iman, for Islam. And every person, will work according to his capacity and his means. Everybody won't work in one in the same time and same way. Alright? One of the better ways in this day and time is the Jamaat work, right? Because it's universal, it touches the whole world. So one of the better ways, right? So we will applaud it, we'll praise it, we'll support it, we'll cooperate with it, because they are covering things that we can't cover. They're doing things that we can't do. So we'll give it the respect, we'll make dua for them, we'll cooperate with them. If they come to the area, we'll give them a meal, right? Take them like our brothers, take them out a little bit for that gush, whatever, participate in that program, to show that we are one, right? That they are doing our work. Aren't they doing our work? Right? They're doing our work, so we will support it, tooth and nail to support it. But I say everybody has a different capacity. You work according to your capacity. You are good in something else, he's good in something else, he's good in something else. And everybody is getting an equal share in, at the end of the whole effort, everybody is getting an equal share. I liken it to an istima, you know. See, a grand istima, right? So you have a paramedic center, you have someone controlling the traffic, someone looking after the decks, potatoes and all. You have Mawlana Khatani giving the bayan, right? Then you got a tashkil jamaat. But when the samad, the sawab is being dished out, Allah is giving them equal sawab. Because if that man that was in the kitchen, not looking after the potatoes and all that, if he was not doing his job, one of Khatani couldn't do his job also. He had to do his job for him to do his job. If your niyat is right, and the sawab is being dished out, all are getting the right sawab. You doing the motor car, right? The control. Now, if you aren't there, there'll be a total jam here. For a mile, kilometer, there'll be a jam. People can't come to the istima. So your niyat is right. Right. You're going to get the sawab. So every person, look at his capacity, look at his muscle, his capacity. And the even better thing is, take mashwara with someone senior, who you normally refer to, alright? What can I do? You know my style, my lifestyle, what can I do? Or this whole thing here, so that if everybody is grabbing something at the end, then I mustn't be penniless. I must get something at the end as well. So if you ask, then they'll give you a direction. Right? But we don't ask, and we do our own thing, then there can be a duplication. Or it may be that it's not needed. Either it's a duplication, or either it's not needed. It becomes a redundant thing. But it's a mashwara, as though we're all working for a common cause, right? But I say, every khidmat is required. Sometimes someone is like overheated, you know, so I have to ask him, he's overworked, whether in madrasa, whether in jamaat, but he's overheated, let's ask him, alright? You got a son, take a random example, you got a son, right? And you want to put him into a hifz class. Right? So, will you put him in a hifz class under a person that is going for 6 months in Jamaat every year? Or a Mawlana that is like Mawlana Magda in town, and he stays in one place, is all the children, Mawlana Khatani is also coming out of the same madrasa. What do you prefer? One person that is stationary, he's settled down there, and he's working on those children, you know you're going to get better results. So you need your work also to go and do the marketing and bring the people to the madrasa. And you want the dealership also to be grounded. The dealership can't run everywhere. So Mawlana Magda is like the dealership. He's settled one place, he's the dealership. If he's going to do Mawlana Khatani's job, who's going to do the dealership, I ask you? Can he run? So he's doing one job. And our duty is respect him, respect this person. But ask, alright, what can I do for the preservation of our deen? You know, we don't think, this ikhtilaf here, this fight here, by just jumping to conclusion. So, you get the young students, jumping. They sincere, they mean well. They come and ask this time, a lot of ikhtilaf now, what must I do and all that? They say, what's the ikhtilaf? So, they tell me what's the ikhtilaf. So, a lot of young students, you learn from them. Alright, the young, energetic, motivated, spirited, but they need a direction. I told him, see, look at it from a different perspective. How's your father? Is he strict? Something is very strict. Alright. I got the first thing, right? Say in your town there's a group of youngsters that are peddling with drugs, heavy drugs. What marriage? I can't get that tajweed right. Ibrahim bhai, give me the tajweed, marijuana or whatever it is. Understand, so ganja, a simple word, everybody would understand. Too much of tajweed, they would understand everything. The thing dakha, right? Whatever it is. So there's a group of people that are heavy, they're peddling, experimenting in all these things here. This thing here, mandrax, what they think, heavy things they take. Right. And if your father sees you with them, will he say, you know, you mustn't disunite the ummah. You're causing istilaf in ummah. So you must just join with everybody. Will your father say that? Yeah. Or will he say, if he's a little bit strict, if I see you with those people, I'll break your legs. What your father will say? And if you move away from them, then if those people say, you're breaking the unity of the ummah, you are all together now, and you're breaking away. See? What do you say? Your bayan can carry on, but I don't take a chance. I know what my father is able to do, right? I know what he's able to do. So, will you call that disuniting the ummah? Will you say that that person is breaking the ummah? Or will you say that he's using a fronting for his own agendas? He's got an agenda, he wants to drive that agenda, but he has to use a fronting. What will you say? Similarly, now there can be different situations coming up. You see someone that is not married, right? But he's humanizing everybody and anybody, sleeping with this one, that one, married woman is trying to flirt around with, right? He's doing all these things here. Someone is cheating, robbing. Now, if your father sees that you are moving around that circle, what will he tell you? Yes? You better watch out. I don't want to see you. I don't. Now, if someone comes and tells you that you are disuniting and breaking the ummah, fragmentating the ummah, will you listen to his bayan? Say, no, the bayan keep it for some other occasion, but this one here, my father won't hit me. I know what he can do. Right? So your father's punishment, his treatment, is worse than Jahannam. Right? But such a, you're so frightened about it. Right? You know what he can do. And I ask you, now that you've grown up, right, you may have had this treatment from your father when you were young, 15, 20 years of age, experimenting. But now you're at the age of 30, and when you sit back and think, what conclusions do you come up to? That your father did the right thing or the wrong thing? Now you are that age, and say, no, hey, lucky my father stopped us from that. Otherwise, we don't know. Hamara kya hota? What way we should have been? He shouted us. He reprimanded us, and now we're on track. We got a line, right? Although, even in drugs and all that, even in ganja and all that, there's some ikhtilaf in that as well. Definitely is that ikhtilaf. Abu Hanifa rahmatullah is saying, what is wine? Nay'um min al-inab is a shtadda wa ghala wa qazafa bi zabd. If you look at that definition, then all these things, you got a room for it. There can be ikhtilaf in there. But is your father going to be interested in the ikhtilaf? I ask you. You're sitting in the house of Allah, he's going to be interested in the ikhtilaf. You know, you just do what I'm saying, you just do that. That ikhtilaf, you can learn when you come to Mawlana and you experience 35 years, then you can talk about it. But now you'll just do what I say. Otherwise, you see the door, he'll become so furious with you. You see the door, you just move out of it. I ask you, is it a fact or not fault? So he's being furious. Is it the right thing or not? Now that you have aged, you have matured, mentally you have matured, now don't you thank Allah Ta'ala and thank your father what he's done for you. Maybe he's gone, he's dead and gone, but you're so appreciative. So the right thing is not that you must go and join them. No. The right thing is, if you want to join up with us, kick up that habit, correct yourself, we'll be brothers. Now you want that to continue and you want us to join up with you, that's wrong. Yes, you kick up that habit. See, all these old habits, these evil habits, leave all these things here. Make tawbah, become a right person, and we are brothers, we'll embrace you. But now you want to carry on with those all those wrong habits, and then you want us to get mixed up in this whole rush here, then no, it's not wrong. See, Hazrat Gangohi Hamdas, his advice. Na jins ki suhbat or na munasib ghiza. The wrong type of food and the right, wrong type of association. Not just the food and not just the association. Association also and food also. Now, when you have dumped all this, now you build up a spiritual strength. Right? Mullah says, don't look at wrong, but you've got a strength to restrain. Right? You've got the strength to restrain from listening to music. You've got the strength to restrain from watching wrong. You've got the strength to restrain from thinking wrong. You've got a strength, you've got an energy to restrain yourself from inclining towards wrong. Why? You've got the right fueling. And you've got the right atmosphere. The atmosphere or the environment is conducive. So you need a conducive environment and you need the conducive nutrition for the plant to grow, right? You know, you've got a very, very beautiful, expensive plant. You can't just leave it in the open. That person that knows about farming and planting, it's very expensive, so he'll take it for the first couple of good months into a nursery. Why? The nursery so that it's got a conducive, protective environment. Don't you take it to a nursery for a protected and a very conducive environment. Now, if the other part is saying, but you know, you people here, you want to be a class of your own, you want to separate from all the rest of the jungle, you know, you're being too exclusive. You're an exclusive class. I'll ask you, is that right? But you don't know about farming. Keep quiet. Don't talk about this type of matters. See how this thing here, this exclusivity, that's wrong. And wrong nutrition is also wrong. And the effects of it. Allah.